today, Betty drops the bombshell. It's 9:15 p.m. now at Jack Barber's house across the hedge from the Barber family home in Sea Cliff, San Francisco. Jack finds Betty looking at him quizzically.
Hi. What's the matter?
Where are they?
Studying.
Doors closed?
Sure, why?
Well, I'm going to burst. That's why I've got something to tell you.
For your shaking, I guess, huh?
I've been trying to tell you since 6:15.
Well, let's have it.
We're never alone anymore, Jack. Do you realize that? The only time we're sure of being alone is when we go to bed, and then bang, you cork out.
Well, I didn't foresee how exhausting it would be.
What?
Living with seven women. That takes about all a man's got. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, this afternoon, Greta dropped in and...
Mom!
Who's that?
Janie, on the stairs. Yes, Janie?
Have you seen my World Lit book?
Well, somebody left three school books in the kitchen. That's not my responsibility.
Excuse me. I'll go get them. Pardon me, Dad.
There she was.
Way down there.
And probably some boy.
Yeah.
Cruelest creatures on the face of the earth.
You think so?
At that age, no boy ever stops to think how a woman feels. They give you a rush, drop you like a hot potato, and you never find out why. Big, romping, and sensitive brutes.
Gosh, you're pretty fierce tonight. Janie?
She's gone back up. So now I can tell you about Greta. She dropped in here this afternoon. She was waiting for Hank to get home from Letterman. And Pinky got out of bed early. He was down in the garden talking to Father Barber's new Japanese gardener. I saw him, but Greta didn't at first. Well, here we were in the kitchen. I was making the cake, putting the frosting on it, and she was talking about Hank and the house ZZ wants to give them. Yeah, Hank's kind of pulling back on that.
Yeah.
And how they're trying to get away for a quiet little wedding all by themselves.
Yes.
Only, of course, Hank was promoted all of a sudden and switched to plastic surgery, and Major Herrick wants him to stay a few more days before he gets his leave. Anyhow, there we were, chatting away about her wedding to Hank and all that, and all of a sudden she looked out the window and saw Pinky. And Jack.
What?
She blushed.
Hmm?
The color started down here and went right up into her hair. And she turned away and began talking a mile a minute about Hank. How wonderful he is, and how dependable and hardworking and kind, and what a future he has, and how handsome he is in his uniform. Why, it was the most revealing thing I ever saw.
What do you mean?
She loves him.
Well, I should hope so. She's going to marry him.
No, I mean Pinky.
Huh?
She's never got over it, Jack. No, he's the one. He broke her heart the way men do. He humiliated her, but she still loves him and doesn't know it.
Oh, now, Betty, let's not make things any more complicated.
I'm not getting things complicated. I'm just telling you the way it is. She's in love with Pinky, and she doesn't even know it.
Now, we can't let anything go wrong. Hank's the greatest guy we've got in the family. I don't want anything to happen to Hank.
Oh, I know. It's a terrible situation, but there it is. That just shows you what can happen when a man is utterly brutal and selfish the way Pinky was when he didn't marry her. He forced her to break the engagement to keep her self-respect. He was so afraid of a wedding. He never thought for one split second what it would do to her. Oh, no. True to form. Men.
Off with our heads, huh?
Oh, you don't think about us, Jack. It's just not in the male makeup to ever see a woman's point of view. Women are loyal. You take Greta. She loved Pinky once. He's utterly worthless, but she loved him once, so she can't get over it no matter how hard she tries.
Yet she's all set to marry Hank.
I know.
You mean she's just kidding herself that she's in love with Hank?
Oh, certainly. Complete self-delusion.
You could be wrong.
I could be. I don't think I am. Mother Barber knows.
She does?
I was over there when Mother Barber found out Hank couldn't get his leave for a few days. Why, I've never seen her so nervous. They're scared to death.
What about Pinky? Is he in there pitching?
Oh.
Hmm?
He's got that black eye. Doesn't like Hank to hit anybody, but Hank hit him. You know why? Pinky said Hank got Greta on the rebound. And he'd bet $10 if he proposed again, she'd bound right back.
You don't mean this is a game with Pinky?
Oh, he's in love. As much love as he's capable of, about this much, just enough to ruin everything. Oh, it's a mess, Jack. When I saw that blush go up into her hair and she began to talk about Hank and all his virtues, I thought, golly, this is going to be one of the worst we've ever had in the history of this family. And goodness knows we've had some dillies.
Yeah.
All because men never pause to see the woman's point of view.
Yeah.
Have you got a solution?
No. Let's turn off the lights and go to bed.
Jack checks the doors downstairs, makes sure there's wood for the breakfast fire in the fireplace, turns off the lights, and goes slowly upstairs. As he reaches the second floor, the lights go out in Janie's room. He stops at the head of the stairs.
Is Betty in there?
She's in your room, Daddy. Good night.
Night. Jeannie?
Yes?
In bed?
Yes.
Can I come in a minute?
Sure, if you want to.
Jeannie, I've been puzzling about something you said this evening. You said another one's found out you're a brain. Who, Jeannie? A senior boy?
Not Jerry Beeson, if that's what you want to know.
I wasn't asking about Jerry.
You've noticed one thing, I hope. He hasn't been around at all since you let him see you approved of him. You just can't do that, Daddy. The father of six girls just can't do that.
Why not?
It makes us all look anxious. That's as bad as a girl chasing a boy. One thing men don't realize. For a girl, it's a tightrope act from the day she has her first date. If she looks too eager, she's a drip. If she doesn't look eager enough, she's cold. If she's a little bit dumb, that's fine. But if she's too dumb, that's awful. She should be just bright enough, but not too bright. It seems there's nothing worse than being too bright.
Now, that ain't the way I heard it. Not after you grow up.
Maybe not. But that's the way it is in high school. I've made the mistake of being at the top of the honor roll. It's ruined my social life.
There's a great big cult of mediocrity, and everybody wants to be in the middle. Is that it?
The ones in the middle are perfectly happy.
Now, the world isn't run by the ones in the middle.
But they're happy.
And you're not.
Oh, sure. But, well, there's a wonderful boy at school, Daddy. Ollie Winnett. He's tall and smooth and has his own car. He earned it. And he's about a C-minus student. Oliver Winnett. Isn't that a beautiful name? Well, I like him, and we begin to kind of drift together. He walked me to classes and lunch, and twice he drove me home. But then last week, I helped him study for the World Lit test. We studied in the library after school. I made an outline while he took a nap, and I helped him get it all in his head, and he got his first C+ on an exam. But then I got the only A in the class. And he found out that I'm at the top of the honor roll, so now he avoids me. He just dropped me cold.
Why?
Because it's a man's world, that's why. And no man wants to feel inferior to a girl.
Oh, honey, maybe he's just been busy.
Oh, no, it's happened before. It will always happen, all my life. You don't know what it's like, Daddy. You couldn't hope to know. You're a man.
In the master bedroom, the lights are out now. The big double bed is occupied by two silent figures lying a little apart.
Betty, have you met a senior named Oliver Winnett?
He drove Janie home one night. Or twice, I guess. Yes, twice.
What's he like?
Oh, normal. A beetle-browed, insensitive brute in a letterman sweater.
He's broken her heart.
No surprise to me. They can do it. Leave it to a man.
What do you think you've got here beside you?
Well, you're a married man. That's different. A married man begins to get a little glimmer of what it's like to be a woman. I wasn't talking about you. I adore you. I mean, other men.
Mm-hmm.
Bachelors. High school lummoxes. Oh, you called? You could move closer.
So could you.
Okay. Together. One, two, three, closer.
Oh.
Jack, if Greta were our daughter and she was dithering and Hank and Pinky both wanted to marry her, what would you do?
Brother, I'd get busy.
Well, then do something. Tell Hank to sweep her off her feet and get married and everything will be fine. Tell him that for me. But if he doesn't hurry, there's going to be a disaster. I can feel it in the wind.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 63, Book 133, The Once Happy Bride.